Lassiter. Nemechek.
Here.
Conklin.
Here.
Moody.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Quorum present.
I would entertain a motion to excuse Commissioner Lassiter. He had another commitment today.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Moving on to the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by urging non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any item or items on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will automatically be respected. We have two items. A, approve the October 11th regular meeting minutes as presented, and approve the city manager to execute activities with Marcor Technologies to renew, purchase 5 Adobe licenses for utilization by city administrative staff at a total cost of $1,350. Anyone in the audience with a question or comment on removing one of these items? Commissioners? I entertain a motion then to approve the consent agenda as presented.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Jessica, roll call please.
Nemechek.
Here. Sorry. Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Moving on to citizens' comments. This would be citizens' comments on non-agenda items. You're limited to 5 minutes. We ask that you go to the podium, state your name and address, and Jessica will be keeping the time. Anyone with a citizen comment on non-agenda item? Okay. Moving along to correspondence, we have a tip of the Mid Watershed Council, a tribute titled "A Tribute to Our Waters 2021 Annual Report." And the full report is available at the city clerk's office. Anything else under correspondence, Jessica? Mike, moving on to the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor. Since our last meeting, a programming error was found in our heating and cooling system controls for this commission chambers, which has since been corrected and hopefully should result in more comfortable meetings. We have updated our Zoom electronic meeting security settings, which should prevent viewers from being able to unmute themselves during the meetings. They can still request to be unmuted and allowed to participate remotely or not as determined by the mayor and the commission. Allowing remote participation is optional, as is the broadcasting of our meetings electronically. If the commission wishes to discuss this further, we could add this as an item for our future meeting. You'll notice that we're just using the one monitor in the commission meetings chambers here tonight. And we are live on Zoom and we're streaming it on YouTube as well. Our IT consultant has been working on converting our monitor system to more reliable and stable connections. That isn't completed yet, so we're just running on the one monitor today. Hopefully we'll have more results on that by our next meeting. As of this morning, we have issued 790 absentee ballots for the November 8th election. 450 have already been returned. City Hall will be open for extra hours for the issuing and receipt of absentee ballots on Sunday, November 6th from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. The first pours for the splash pad, of concrete for the splash pad at Vincent Beach Park have taken place and are continuing to take place today. They hope they get a lot of that done before the end of the day. The Washington ball mix, which was approved for purchase at our last city commission meeting for Rotary Park, has been delivered and is scheduled for installation in the near future. I have made arrangements with the Michigan Rural Water Association, of which we are a member, to provide free support services from two of their properly licensed water and wastewater professionals for the next 3 months as we work our way through efforts to find replacement staffing for our retired water and wastewater superintendent. Basically, the state contacted the city and told us that we needed to move on with steps. We've been in communication with them about our efforts to find a water and wastewater superintendent. But they basically said we need to bring somebody in with additional licenses, so we're working our way through that process. Basically, what I'm hearing is there are at least three other systems similar to ours in the state that are also looking for a superintendent. So it's an issue that the state and the profession is aware of, but like a lot of other professions, there's just a shortage of people with the proper certifications at this point. If we do need to use their services beyond the 3 months, they would be available for free, and that would come back to the commission for discussion. We'll be conducting a public logic and accuracy testing for our election processes here in the City Hall lobby on Thursday, October 27th at 10 a.m. This test is designed to provide an overview of the election night vote counting process and to verify that the ballot counting program prepared for the election is properly reading and tabulating votes. The public is welcome to attend this test. The annual Housing North Regional Housing Summit is scheduled to take place in Traverse City this Thursday and Friday. If there are any commissioners that are still interested in attending, they should let Scott or Jessica know. We can make arrangements for that. A reminder that our fall leaf collections are now taking place on Mondays and Fridays. The program is currently scheduled to continue through Friday, November 11th. We'll see how the leaves are coming down at that point. Leaves to be collected need to be bagged and properly in craft paper bags. DPW crews are scheduled to move the shopper's dock and fishing piers to the marina for their winter storage later this week, weather permitting. Evan Marsh is continuing to work on the design for our marina. Given our altered November meeting schedule due to the election, it will be available to be presented to the commission at our November 22nd meeting. That is also the meeting where the short-term rental ordinance is scheduled for its second reading. Having those two major items on the agenda for one meeting may be a bit much. It may be something for the commission to consider about whether we want to separate those at some point and possibly move the marina to a different regular meeting or a separate work session. A reminder that if you have any other questions or need any additional information on these or other items, please let me know.
Commissioners, any questions? Mike?
Well, just, you know, on that comment, I think we need to talk about that right now.
Well, I thought maybe we could just add to the item already the last item on the new business and we'll discuss those.
Okay.
Those issues.
So we're going to put it as E?
Yes. Jessica, I want me to put you on the spot. What percentage is 790 absentee from our total voter roll?
Oh. Well, I know that we're at like 37.
37% absentee?
Yeah.
Mike, I was wondering, why are they offering their services for free? Is it because we're a member of the Rural Association?
Yes, we've been a member of their association for quite a period of time. They make this service available to all their members.
All right. No other questions, commissioners? Moving on to old business, we have the reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. We have a financial statement for September 2022. Any comments or questions, commissioners, on the financial statements?
I have your questions. I'll just submit.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, moving on to old business. We've got the Boyne City Skate Park location recommendation for Rotary Park. Consider the recommendation from the Parks and Recreation Board to approve the location of the skate park at Rotary Park, west of the baseball diamond A, east of the soccer field and south of the pickleball courts. I'm not sure who's taking the lead on this. Dawn?
You want me to go?
Yeah.
All right. I guess I'm the lead. So I'm Greg Badney. My address is 717 First Street, right here in Boyne City. And we have our board, this Boyne Area Skate Park Board that we've formed, and I'm also on the Parks and Rec Board as well. And we've just kicked off a real effort now to zero in on a location for the skate park. I've provided some maps, we've had some conversation at the Parks and Rec meetings, and we really are at a sort of juncture where we needed to find the location where we move forward with our planning and fundraising and that sort of thing. We've already begun some small fundraising, but in order to really move forward, in particular for a grant, whose deadline is the 1st of November. And I was gone for the previous Parks and Rec meeting where this new option, which you see up there as the preferred option, just looks like, as we're looking at the map, I knew that would be, I guess that would be, what do we, I don't have a, that's south of the tennis courts there, the sort of the middle one. We have looked at several other location options. I can answer any questions about that. We sort of landed at Rotary for a number of reasons, and I'm open to questions and anything you guys have.
Okay. Is there any other staff input on the recommendation from the Parks and Rec?
I can jump in. And both Don and Mike were at all the Parks and Recreation Board meeting. This process has been going on for several months and has involved a lot of research and discussion, both by the subcommittee, the private group that's working to get this established, as and also with the Park and Recreation Board. So now it's coming to the City Commission for your consideration with regards to it. As Greg mentioned, they've looked at a number of locations that are on other maps. Everything from right behind City Hall here and some of the space just west of the Fire Hall to other parks and other locations in Rotary Park as well too. And after talking to the park board and getting input from our police department and other areas of our staff, they came up with this preferred location, which is shown again on the screen behind the mayor, which is just south and a little bit west of the tennis pickleball courts, east of the soccer fields, and west of the southernmost ball fields there at Rotary Park. They like the proximity to the restrooms that are there at the park. There's parking nearby. It's a central location. It's in a location in the middle of a park where if there is any noise or activities, it really won't impact the neighbors around it. Overall, they just felt that this was the preferred location for them to go with regards to it. And again, that's the recommendation of the Park and Recreation Board to the City Commission, that the City Commission approve this request for providing this site location so that they can continue to go forward with their fundraising and planning efforts. And again, this is very similar to what we've done with other groups or entities. We talked about the splash park being poured in Peninsula Beach Park right now. We had the dog park that was created on the north side of town on some other city property. We have a group that's looking to bring an additional recreational opportunity to the community that's looking to put their resources if the city provides them a space to do that. So that's a general framework of the discussion. Don or Mike might have something that they wish to add, but I think that helps summarize it.
Okay. Kevin, is there anything you, any recommendation or comments you have about the location? I know you've been, were concerned about avalanche kind of being out of the site, and does this meet your expectation?
Yes, as the map's up there, I definitely prefer the deferred option as opposed to the two others. I would be heavily hesitant on anything at Avalanche. I think this is a project that needs to move forward and we're in support of it.
Okay. And Greg, you have done research on the 10 or 12 years ago, there was a lot of work done on Peninsula Beach. Could you just summarize that briefly?
So we, a couple years ago when I started looking at this before, we got all the previous minutes. There's a lot of conversations that have taken place already. So a lot of the questions that may be asked have already been asked and answered. As it relates to Peninsula Beach, there was some opposition from the condominium owner in particular regarding noise, at that time, it had more to do, and subsequent to that conversation, some folks went out with decibel meters at the other existing skate parks that are similar size in these local areas, Harbor Springs, Gaylord, Petoskey, et cetera, and measured for decibel readings and found that depending on the material that you end up with, the parks don't create much more noise than the road that's right there anyways. That being said, there was still sort of an opposition to that location. You can go back and look at those minutes. I've submitted those to the commission, and I'm sure they're recorded somewhere as well. And to that point, as we've zeroed in, there are several other maps in this presentation that sort of show the other places that we have considered. We have given it a lot of thought, and we have used the user's input as well as the police and the cities. You know, it's not just about it being... In choosing these locations, if you go back in the minutes, you can see all the check marks that you have to hit, close to existing facilities, anything that you don't have to add when it comes to parking, lighting, you know, and all that sort of stuff, that all adds to the plans. We're picking a location that is already an established, you know, sort of city facility location as well. So that's kind of why we ended up here. It wasn't the first place we went to, but it the light bulb went on, and it really does make the most sense for us. In terms of size, we're really looking at something in the 5,000 to 6,000 square foot range. So it's not huge. You know, some of these other parks are 10,000 to 12,000 square feet. We're modeling this after the Houghton in the UP, Houghton Hancock, that area. They built a park in 2018, and it's a really similar footprint, permanent concrete structure that's going to hold up to Northern Michigan outdoors. And that was one of the other big points we wanted to make. We didn't want something that was being used out west or down in the sun. We wanted a place that was going to get beat up by the wind and the rain. So we think we're zeroing in on that as well.
Could you introduce the other members of your board or who are helping with this?
Yeah, this quadrant over here is our board. These are all Boyne City folks. Alicia really has been sort of lead everything. If she didn't have the sort of go-getter attitude that she's had, I would still just kind of be sitting there, because frankly, I understand the language of meetings and organizing projects, but she's done a lot of the grunt work setting up our 501c3, digging in and making contacts with whatever time she's had, and it's really helped motivate me. And then the rest of our team here, we're all, you know, you can find us, we're doing the can returns and can drives, and we're all, you know, parents and young professionals here in Boyne that see a need for it. So they've all been a huge help. And in the little time that we've made some events happen, we've really turned some light bulbs on and had a lot of people asking a lot of questions. And it's encouraging. I have gotten nothing but support from the city, the police, and the citizens. I think everybody gets what we're trying to do and is behind us on that. So, and I trust the team here. I mean, I don't get the sense that anybody's looking for anything else to do. This is a really good project for all of us, and we've worked well at it so far.
Okay. Any citizens comment on Mike?
Do I have one more thing to add? If you look at the map and the size of it, it lends itself for expandability if this were to take off and really become popular, as we hope it would. And also the fact that it gives young families an opportunity to have a lot of different means of play and exercise there. You know, a young family could bring, you know, a child there, and they'd be playing baseball while other kids are on the skate track there. Or even, you know, the pickleball. So I think centralizing it, making it close for families to keep tabs on their kids, the children, as they play over there, it's a great thing. Great location. It will take a little bit of site development to get ready for that, because there's a lot of trees and probably some tile work and whatnot, but any site's going to require some path prep. So
if we approve this location, what's the process going forward? Would it be a city administrator to approve the site plan and all those sorts of things for planning?
Or the commission can set the parameters on it as it would like. If the commission's comfortable working through the park board and staff, managed by that, at that level. The commission would like to have it come back and see some more detailed plans after they get their funding and timing and things like that for a report back. Kind of like what we talked about last week at the, or at our last meeting with regards to the social district. How much leeway you want to give is up to the commission. So we're more than comfortable bringing it back and giving you updates along the way, as much or as little information as you would like.
All right, any comments or questions?
I got one more quick one. I forgot to mention, this location, the other neat thing is this does set us up to partner with Tomba on possibly integrating a pump track as well. Out on the perimeter of the project. I'm a little hesitant to get into details on that because we really haven't gotten that far, but it's because of the proximity to the school forest loop trail and the potential for them connecting that, this does set us up in a good spot to do some joint fundraising and possibly qualify for some of that funding as well. So it's just kind of another way to help build more into it, try to diversify the use of it.
I saw a hand back there.
Jordan Peck, Quincy Main Street Director. So I've had the opportunity to work with Alicia and her husband and some of her team since early on in the summer when they've started talking with me about their ideas. I met with them again this morning, and I have full confidence that this group is very serious about taking this to the next level. And I also have a lot of confidence in the fact that this is a need and a spoken need within our community. It's also a great opportunity for some collaboration, like was mentioned with Tomba. I think it fills a need that our community has for a really growing sport. And it's a great location and a great option. I know a lot of their fundraising is going to depend upon having this location down. So, if this is able to move forward and get the green light, I know they have people that are in the queue that are interested in supporting this endeavor. So, I'd just like to speak on their behalf today. It's a great group. I've enjoyed working with them so far, and look forward to more opportunities.
Anyone else? Okay, we can move along to Commissioner Deliberation. Mark, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. I don't have any problems with it. I think it's a great idea. It's been batted around many times over the last few years. My only question was going to be the preferred location. I get it. I was, and I'm sure you guys have talked this out many times, I was looking at it that there's already so much going on right in that center there. Why was it not picked on the edges? But I guess Chief kind of talked to that a little bit. I guess it's a little bit more sequestered or whatever. Is that where you guys came up with that?
There's a lot more clearing that would need to be done.
Yeah.
Really, my conversation with Chief Spate was that, That's kind of a little too hidden and out of the way.
Yeah.
And it does breed the opportunity for mischief that would otherwise be unknown.
Yeah. If I could add too, when we went started our Parks and Rec meeting last week, the preferred was between the street. Yeah. And that was there was another recommendation, thinking this location was much better. And I believe it was unanimous vote for that particular location.
No, it makes complete sense. I just, like I say, it was more, there's so much, because skate park would be a year-round thing versus, the other things would be coming and going and stuff. So I was just more concerned about everything happening at once. But yeah, full support.
Tom?
Yes, I'm in full support. I was intrigued by all the different locations, and I appreciate the conversation and as to why you picked this one. And upon reflection, I think it's a great location. I've stated before that those soccer fields on any given weeknight during the spring and during the fall, there's 300 people up there, families watching their kids and grandkids play soccer. And this is cool. It's just one more attraction, one more place for kids and families to gather. So, so I think upon reflection, I really like the location, and I really like the idea of working with Tomba. I agree with Chief that the other locations are a little too obscure, and the other locations are big enough that they could be future growth for ball fields. This one is just perfect because you couldn't fit a ball field, soccer field, into that location, but you could certainly fit the skate park and future growth. So, again, I support the board's decision, the committee's decision, and the staff's decision to support this location.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah.
In addition to the other community support the location as well, I watched this on social media from Alicia's first comments on one of our community pages and groups on social media, and Kurt's response to her on this has been an initiative in the past. So it's nice to see the hard work, the motivation for the group to see it get to the point that it is now. So obviously it's hard work from the example of, you know, where it fell short in the past. This is something that I had an opportunity to speak with Alicia at one of the Stroll Streets events, and I see it nothing but being a positive. Last week down at MML, there's a breakout session that I was part of that talked about well-being, the well-being reservoirs in a community, and how certain individuals or certain portions of the community aren't always engaging, and it's up to, you know, the community leadership to find reservoirs for the whole community. Some people are enjoying, you know, Avalanche, some people are enjoying the pickleball courts. But I see this being a direct benefit for our youth, for the mental health benefit, physical health benefit. So thank you for your leadership in molding and impacting the community, the board and each person that's helped get it to this point. So thank you with that, and obviously, me personally, I'll just speak to it because we're going to have to make a decision here as a commission, knowing that you are on the Parks and Recs board and Hugh here as well. I don't see this having to come back for any more fatigue or any micromanagement. I think what it is a very positive, so I feel good with the preferred option location there.
Thank you. Greg, could you just kind of give a brief sketch of what challenges you have now with fundraising, what the scope of what this project really is?
I've got the ballpark. Well, we started with a much larger ballpark number, and as we drilled down and really started to think about the size and the company that we want to use, you know, I've been down to Royal Oak, I've talked to a lot of Parks and Rec directors that have skate parks, and zeroed in on Houghton because it was recently built. It's kind of a similar size community, and it's the right size park. So as far as next steps go, we really need to stake and survey the site and get Spawn Ranch, which is the company that we'll probably get multiple bids, but Spawn seems to be the right one for us. We've already talked to them, and there's a $20,000 design, you know, number that's out there for us, and I think we'll have a really much better sense of the all-in number once we get the design, but hesitant to throw the figure out there because I don't want it to come back and be way off, but it's less than I had feared, and it's a realistic number, and I think given the funding opportunities through the MEDC's patronicity dollar-for-dollar matching, we're really looking at that. Alicia and the team have identified independent sources and interest in funding through other groups in town. I've been waiting on my own with some other people that I know will be willing to uncork when we have the drawings and the spot to really show this is it. We're going to ask a lot from our local contractors, because the more that we can get local contractors to donate surveying, site work, and that sort of thing through the 501c3, that really does cut down on the total all-in costs from the group. So, and we'll really be able to organize that better once we have the plan in place with Spawn from the design. But I think the first big milestone is going to be that $20,000 number to get the full plan in place. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I'm in complete support, so if there's no other discussion from the commission, I entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the location of the skate park at River Park as the, defined as a preferred option, west of the baseball diamond, A, east of the soccer field, and south of the pickleball courts.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? All right, Jessica, roll call, please.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you, and thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck. And wait.
Yeah.
Got an expectation now. Okay, moving on to new business. Item A, Lime Street Sanitary Sewer Reconstruction Award Recommendation. Mike?
Yes. Attached for the city commission's review and consideration in the agenda packet is a bid review and recommendation for the sanitary sewer line replacement at the south end of Lime Street from our consulting engineer, Eric Cronk of C2AE. And Eric is here in the meeting today. The city commission may recall that this line has been failing, causing clogs and backups, and needs to be replaced. The attached memo reviews the bidding process and the results. Although a low bid of $72,814,000 is above the engineer's estimate, it remains well below and within the $100,000 we had budgeted for this project in the capital outlay line item in the wastewater fund. We have the funds to do the project as recommended. We have worked very well with all three of the contractors who bid on this project. We have no problems with any of them. And as you notice from the memo from Eric and the bid tabulation, all the bids came in relatively close to each other. So that basically makes us believe that we have valid bids that reflect the true value of the work out the market today. If the city commission were to approve this today, the work would be done in the spring of next year, 2023. It's our recommendation that the city commission approve awarding the Lime Street Sanitary Sewer Reconstruction Project to Montai Construction of Charlevoix, who is the low bidder, in the amount of $72,814, and authorize myself and the city clerk treasurer to execute the necessary documents to undertake the project. And again, we have the additional memo and materials that Eric provided as part of the agenda packet. Here's a map that kind of shows the work area up on the screen behind you. Again, it's just the south portion of Lyon Street that's being done. This line does not extend much further north than this, and we didn't see any reason, as we talked about with the commission before, I believe, for extending it further north. There really aren't that many developable properties that would benefit from an extension at this point. So, again, Eric and I are available to address any questions that the commission may have.
Okay. Eric, is there anything you'd like to add? Or
I think that's a pretty good summary. I don't have anything to add. Maybe a couple more details. It's approximately 300 linear feet of sewer. There's three homes connected in this section. It's a dead end. As Mike mentioned, it drains down towards Lake Street to the main sewer line. It's been ongoing maintenance problems for the city. The construction of the sewer has shifted. It was built with Fernco type connectors between the pipe segments, so all that's like a flexible connection. So the pipe is misaligned, has clogging issues. It's been a big maintenance issue for the city. And in regards to the bid prices, we estimated this project per Mark Fowler's request at the end of 2021, and we just have consistently seen bid pricing in 2022 be unpredictable. But as Mike mentioned, we did receive three bids from qualified contractors that were all within 10% of each other. So we felt like there was good bidding that represents the current value.
Okay, thank you. Any other staff comment? Any questions from the, or comments from the audience?
Well,
okay, we can move to commission of deliberation. Tom, do you want to start?
Sure. you refreshed us as to why this became a priority, and that makes sense, that it's been a nightmare as far as maintenance. So yeah, it makes sense, and I'm in full support of moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear dry. That's something that we had budgeted for. There's a conversation in our budgeting session. Just curious, do you have like an estimate of what our Band-Aids costs have been and expenses have been to the city since we've been chasing these repairs and maintenance?
I don't have an estimate. I just had conversations with Mark Fowler. The types of activities they were doing were like, you know, trying to televise the water jet, the sewer to prevent clogging on, I think, multiple times a year. They had tried to reconstruct, I think the city had portions of it to fix those, that misaligned pipe. And I think they just, you know, tried to do like one section and never really took on the whole 300 feet of sewer. But I don't have numbers as far as what those costs have been. I know it's been multiple times a year the city's been out unclogging.
Okay. The only other thing is there any contingency, like within a percentage gap on a change order potentially down the road? It's just a concern that I always try and address on following the lowest bidder.
Right, yeah, we build in typically a 5 to 10% contingency in our estimates. Obviously, those estimates were over or under what the actual bid, so right now there is no contingency.
Those are all the questions
here.
Mark.
Yeah, that was, Eric doesn't seem to know. Mike or Mike, do you have any idea on a cost? That was my main question. What maintenance does this cost us?
It would be our time and materials for both using the Vactor truck and sending our crews out if we were able to can't handle it ourselves.
Right.
And then there would possibly be some contractual. Basically, had to have somebody come in with a rotor mover and things of that nature.
Well, how many times did we have the contractual?
I want to say that we brought in the people. I have to double check on that. I want to say overall, it seemed like we brought in, go out and attend to it in the last couple of years about 3 or 4 times at least. And there's a possibility that between now and when the work takes place, there may be a couple more times that we have to go out there. Because this pipe will continue to shift and align itself until we get it rebuilt.
Understood. I got that. I what Eric touched on, that was my question, is that obviously we attempted to try to find a fix in one area, but we haven't in the other areas. I get it, you know, Tim said it was budgeted for it just because we budgeted for it. We've had a lot of conversations. We have a gentleman in the audience right today that, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, the streets that we still don't have paved in this town. I just have a problem spending, you know, almost $80,000 when we haven't exhausted some of the smaller costs and when we have a lot of, you know, issues around town. You know, we ran the roads assessment that's been about, what, 5 years ago that was done now? The whole,
the PACER ratings?
Yeah, exactly.
And those more recently than that.
Okay, well, I thought it was about 5 years ago. Then it wasn't really public, whatever was done. But I mean, I would like to see some of that. I will say, thank you. This is the first time we had 3 bids on something since I've been a commissioner. So I'd like to say thank you for that, because that makes me feel good. Because more times than not, we don't. But I guess I don't think we've exhausted all the options for spending, you know, $73,000. I said 8. Sorry.
Okay. Anything else, Brady?
Oh.
Eric, so you said that, I don't know what happens up there. So you said 3 homes are going to be impacted by this?
Yeah, it's 2 on the east side of the road, and then the 1 is kind of on the northwest corner of that red rectangle.
The duplex?
Yes.
Okay.
Question for Eric, and it might help people understand a little better the urgency behind this, is the firm co fittings that we're shifting, which gives us our clog issues, is that just at the homes or is it at every 20 feet?
That's on the main line.
Okay.
Where the pipe connections on the 8-inch main are connected with firm co. So it's actually the main line sewer is what is shifting.
How many connections do we have typically on that? Was that a jointed pipe or was that a continuous pipe that was laid in?
Typically, the pipes are like 20-foot lengths, so there's, you know...
Every 20 feet we got for a...
Right.
That's what we got for us.
Okay, any questions?
Go ahead.
So, let me just ask you this. In regards to, you know, this lowest bid, from Montai's is 12% above your guys' estimate. When essentially did you collaborate that estimate, and what is the reasoning you think in your professional opinion why it's 12% higher?
We estimated this in December of last year. So, like I mentioned, we've seen price increases in 2022 construction season that are really unpredictable. So I think that's the main reason was this was budgeted and estimated last year, and prices have continued to go up, and that would be the main reason. As fuel costs go up, paving prices go up, you know, if you look at some of the detailed breakdown on paving, you'll see those are really high. Pipe material costs, the plastic sewer pipe costs are higher than what we would have anticipated even end of last year.
Okay, so let me ask you this, and your professional opinion as an architect engineer, say we throw 3 band-aids on it, get us through another year or 2 years, do you expect to see another 12% annually, potentially, due to cost, material, and labor increase?
In construction in general?
Yes.
It's hard to predict, you know, it kind of goes with the economy and really the price of fuel is a big thing. So it depends on, you know, how inflation's at and really the cost of fuel, which is hard to predict.
Mike, is there, do you have access to like the schedule mapping that we went over in our budgeting sessions that shows like our red line lines? Well, I'm going off memory, but I believe it showed like our sewer lines and it showed sections in red that are priority one for replacement, so on and so forth.
Not available at this time.
Does this fall within the priority one that the city has identified as an infrastructure?
Well, the reason that Mark brought it to the commission at that time and included it as part of the budget is because it had risen to basically a major maintenance item for us, taking time for our staff and expense, and then also inconvenient for the people where the sewers are backing up to.
Right.
So it may not, up until the last year or so, been a priority item, but it basically became one.
Okay, I'm good with the recommendation, so I would entertain the motion.
I'll make a motion to approve awarding the Lyon Street Sanitary Sewer Reconstruction Project to Montai Construction of Charlevoix as a bid in the amount of $72,814 and authorize the city manager and city clerk treasurer to execute the necessary documents to undertake the project.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Jessica, roll call, please.
Conklin.
Aye.
Moody.
Nay.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to property and liability insurance coverage renewal. Mike?
Each year the city has to renew its liability insurance, and our renewal period is coming up. And this is the liability insurance. We have a $500 million worth of coverage that oversees all liability issues for the city of Point City. In 2005, we switched our property and liability insurance coverage from the Michigan Municipal League's liability and property pool, and we've been with them for quite a long time, and we switched to the Michigan Township Participating Plan, which we've been with since, and is represented by Paul Olson, and his offices are in Traverse City. At that time, our premium went from $105,259 to $82,273. And I provided the commission in the memo basically what the rates have been through that and where they've gone up and down to where they are now. Assuming that the league's rates had stayed fairly constant, and they did, except with the usual increase, a ballpark is we estimate that we've saved since 2005 a little over $600,000 by switching providers, and ended up with equivalent and in some cases better coverage since we did that 17 years ago. And those increases, those savings would increase if we switched again, or if we continued for another year. Every few years, we have obtained quotes from different providers to make sure that we're getting good rates. The last time we did that was 8 years ago. And our insurance carrier at that time, the Township Approval Plan, was still $7,000 less than the next lowest provider. We've attached a quotation and proposal from our current provider, Municipal Underwriters of Michigan, for the coming year, and they're included coverages. The price has gone up about 13% by $11,048 to an estimated $84,807. And I say estimated because throughout the year we add equipment, delete equipment, things of that nature, so the price goes up or down slightly as we make those changes through the year, and it would with any carrier. Despite the latest increase, the proposed cost still is only about 81%, or some $20,452 less than what we paid the Michigan Municipal League back in 2004-2005. And it's also about $4,000 less than the highest rate that we paid, which is in 07-08 under our current plan. We've been very happy with the services provided by our current carrier since we switched with them in 2005. Mr. Olson and the team that he works with has continued to provide very good service and coverage. They're really easy to work with and to reach out to on any issue that we have coming up. A lot of times they have it, you know, we'll have a special event, things of that nature, and they'll provide coverage for that at no additional cost. A few years ago, 9 years ago, we received a grant from the insurance company's risk reduction program of just under $5,000. That helped us purchase a computer storage system for the police department at that time. We're looking to apply for another grant for a remote camera system for our parks facilities in the current grant round, which is coming up in November. They also have an annual dividend program, which may reduce our actual cost even further by refunding a portion of that pre-bid payment to us. This past year, it saved us about $2,600. If we thought we could get a better deal by getting quotes, we could still renew our coverage, which is up for renewal on November 1st, and then shop and switch at a later date if we chose. At this point, it's a recommendation of staff that the City Commission authorize myself and the City Clerk Treasurer to take the necessary steps to renew our city's liability insurance coverage with the Michigan Township Participating Plan at an estimated cost of $84,807. For the 22-23 year. Does that answer any questions the commission has?
Okay, thank you, Mike. Any questions or comments from the audience? Okay. Let's see, Tim, do you want to start us off?
Sure, yeah. I like the numeric values that you provided here showing the savings that potentially, we can increase that to $621,000. I'm with renewing this versus the old policy plan. I mean, I'm in full support. The numbers are right there. So yeah, I don't have any questions. It's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, it is pretty cut and dry. And it was exciting to read the history. Thanks, Mike, for providing that. And it definitely has saved a lot over the years. I definitely don't sell insurance for, but my only question was on page 15. It was property, fire coverage, personal property.
few years, Marty,
to make sure that things stay in the proper range. And they actually build those numbers up a little bit higher and make sure that we have coverage. So everything that I'm aware of and that based on the reviews, we should be very well covered within the $5 million cap.
Yep. And then obviously now we got some new equipment that's going to be going on there, so that'll change.
Correct. Yes, like when the new fire truck arrives, that'll be added to it.
Yeah.
The new loader. Yes.
Yeah. So, okay. And then on the flip side, there'll be ministry. When are we going to get rid of our cars?
Well, that was a discussion that the commission wanted to have come back to it with regards to that discussion about whether we wanted to keep any of them or not.
So now I have.
Excuse me?
I said nine.
Nine now.
Okay, I'm
fine. Yeah, I'm full support. The fact that you've been very happy with the services, it's cost, is competitively a good cost for the city. I'm in full support.
Okay, yeah, I support the recommendation, but I would like to see us go out for bid prior to us renewing it next year. And I've never understood, as you all know, why we should municipally charge so much to its members when it comes to insurance coverage.
That's been a big frustration of mine, because we usually reach out to there's three big providers of municipal insurance in Michigan. It's the Michigan Municipal League, Michigan Township Participating Plan, and the Michigan Municipal Risk Management Authority. And we've gotten quotes or attempted to get quotes from them each time we've gone out from them as well. And the league has consistently been high, and that's been a frustration to me that even when it was on the MML board, it didn't make a difference.
Okay, I'd entertain a motion on the property liability insurance coverage renewal.
I'll make a motion to approve the recommendation from City Manager Michael Kane to approve the City Manager and the City Clerk Treasurer to take the steps necessary to renew the city's liability insurance through the Michigan Township Participating Plan at an estimated price of $84,807 for the 2022-23 year.
Thank you, Tom. Is there a second?
Second.
Tim, second. Any further discussion? No. Jessica, roll call, please.
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Moving on to item C under new business, fall tree planting and the city's right-of-way contract recommendation.
Okay. Each year, Public Works Department receives a list of locations where citizens of White City request trees to be planted in their public right-of-way. The proposed total for the 22-23 fall planting season in the city's right-of-way is 65 trees this year. The past several years, Robinson Landscaping has performed fall tree planting for the city of White City. I received a written proposal recently from Charles Robinson for all materials installation of 65 of the requested trees and species. The total cost for this year is $29,925. And these costs are included in the 2022-23 budget and will be charged to the following accounts. Major streets and local streets, and each one has a balance of $30,000 in currently. Recommendations, is my recommendation, the City Commission approved a purchase order contract with Robinson Landscape for the 2022-23 fall tree planting project. And the amount not to exceed $29,925. Further, I recommend that city manager execute the documents.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Any other staff input or audience questions or comments? Okay. Martin, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, sure. I love trees. I don't have a problem with most of this at all. What I don't, I guess, agree with. So we had 31 total requests. So
65.
No, 31 requests, 65 trees. Yeah.
So I have a problem with the multiples. So the way that I broke it down was we had 31 requests, so 9 of them were for a tree. 22 were for old one tree, and 5, well, so 2 trees, I should say. And then 5 were for over 2 trees. So if you honored the 31 requests and gave everybody a tree, doing simple math, simple algebra, your cost would be $14,271.92 instead of $29,000. I don't have a problem with planting the trees. I have a problem with I don't think there's a lot of people around this town that know that they call the city and go, hey, I like a tree. I think they think that the city goes and plants the trees. And so I just have a problem with throwing all our eggs in a few different baskets. So other than that, I don't have any problem with planting trees at all. If that makes sense.
It does, Mayor. Thank you.
Yeah, I just had a follow-up on your comment. There were some sites that we found that were big open corner lots, and then maybe the surrounding properties all were planted in the trees on the right way, and it seemed to balance it, so like some people got 3 or 4 trees, because it seemed like it made the neighborhood more balanced if you added those trees.
Yeah, I follow you. I guess my flip side on that is I guess I didn't know that I could call City Hall and say, hey, I'd like a screen of my property. That's my problem. Having a tree here or there is a request, and I get it, and I respect that. And that's what we're here for. Saying, hey, I'd like you to completely enclose my property for me. I have a problem with that. So I understand where you're going, that you're looking at continuity, but almost all of these requests aren't major thoroughfares, so they're in neighborhoods. So I respect what you're saying, but that's my point.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
Well, to follow through with that, let's clarify, this isn't just I can call City Hall and they put a tree on my property, it's within the right-of-way.
Right.
So it's basically between the sidewalk and the street.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I just wanted to clarify that. And the other, big factor in this is that we are certified as Tree City USA, and what keeps that certification going is the fact that we do have an aggressive program to replant 40, 60, 80 trees a year. And I think that's a tribute to our community. The other thing that we learned in past years is the right species for the right location, and I hope we're still following that. You don't want to plant a oak tree under the power lines. In 20 years, it'll interfere with the power lines. And Consumers Energy came in and educated previous staff on this concept, which the brand new reconstruction on Lincoln Street, there's a lot of trees planted underneath the power line. I hope they're the right species. I hope they won't grow 80 feet tall. I trust that those are the right species. But Marty, I'm saying the more trees, the better. And I think we have in the past got the word out that, hey, if you want a tree in front of your property on city property, give us a call. And so I hope, can we do a better job? Probably, yeah. But the point is, planting, how many?
65.
Yeah, 65 trees in the town is just an asset to our town. So I'm in full support.
Well,
sure. So what, Tom, you said it, and you know the answer. So what's the cutoff for being Tree City? Do I got to plant 65 trees, or can I plant 20, or 30, or 40?
I don't know the proportion, Mark, to be honest with you. I don't know if it's so many trees in a given area, and also is including what property owners put on their land, and what we do down the right of way. But I think part of our goal is to have some continuity and have a nice row of trees as you go down the streets, and to kind of standardize that wherever we a few that are like the old growth neighborhoods down on the greens.
Okay. Well, and I respect that. But by the same token, again, you know, if you're looking at your corridors or whatever, that would make sense that you want them, you know, the facade to be done or whatever, like you're saying. As far as all the different offerings in the neighborhood, I don't want them looking bad, but I can't exactly agree to that. Do you know the answer? What's the Tree City count?
I don't think there's a count. I think there's a dollar value of how much we have to put into our program, and I'd have to look that up, Marty.
Okay.
But I would comment with regards to it. One of the concerns from some of the previous commissions has been the number of trees we've had to remove, which has greatly outstripped the number of trees we had to plant. We really kind of took removals as the top priority because that really created a safety issue. And there were many, many years where our removals far outpaced our plantings. So this, you know, helps us keep even or maybe move a little bit forward to what we've had to remove in past years.
So along with what you said, what Mike said, and what Tom said, so why would we not, if you want more uniform and everything, then why would we not take 31 requests and say, okay, there's 31 requests. We'll honor those for the people that called in, and now I'm going to take 34 more opinions of Mike and Tom and you and you know whoever in this room wants to say, I'd like to see a tree here or there and everything else. There, you can scatter them around, and now you can get a plan going. I just don't understand the okay. We're gonna plop three here, five here, and just can't understand it.
Mayor?
Yes.
Marty raises a very good point, because in previous years, and this goes back a ways, we did do more of that, where we just kind of planted trees where we thought it was more appropriate. And what we found is that a lot of people weren't all that thrilled about getting a tree and didn't take a lot of care of it. We had a lot of die-off as a result of that. So we've kind of gone to more of a supporting people that really wanted trees in their yards as places to start with regards to it, because we had a better survival rate there for people that would actually help take care of the tree, help water it, or help maintain a water bag for some of those that we've got. Because you're correct, I mean, there's a lot of places that can use additional trees as well too, but we've had our best success where people actually want them.
Okay, all right.
Are these all native species?
Yeah, for the most part.
For the most part?
There's a couple that I don't even know where, you know, in the background. I'm not an arborist.
But
everything that I've seen was a copy.
Okay. I understand the Tree City USA thing. I think it's a great value to the community. It's one of those things where, obviously, it shows where you're. ROI is return on investment. It's very, you can look out in our city right now with fall colors and see the benefit, obviously. only concern that I have, it's not really a problem, but it is a concern, is making sure that we're all inclusive on programs like this. I've lived in Boyne City for a number of years and I had no idea that this was even an option. So the questions I have is, where is the list generated? How do I make that request? What is the request time frame? And then taking that above and beyond with our social media contractors, how do we make sure we're engaging the public and that the public as a whole, not just a handful of 30 people in the community is aware of this program, but what are steps we're taking to make sure that our community is being educated on this opportunity? That's what I would like to see going forward, because if I was a commissioner sitting here today, I'd probably go many, many, many more years before I realized that this was even an opportunity or option within Queens. The only other thing I would say is, reading through this, I don't know if there's just nowhere else to get a bid on this, or if they're the primary, you know, person that we've utilized for X amount of years, or while we're only seeing, you know, this Robinson's Landscaping and Nursery, but are we utilizing a contingency plan on these plant warranties? Because obviously not all trees that you plant are going to succeed, and it has to be a die-off rate that's acceptable to the community or the administration. administration as far as the investment that they're making. So do we have a strong contingency plan on these newly planted trees to follow up within that year's time frame on that warranty to make sure that we are getting a bang for our buck, essentially?
Yeah, to that, if I could. Gallisterberg and I went and visited every request address, right? And we looked at what a good species would be. We looked at the power lines overhead. We looked at a couple different factors, right? Mm-hmm. And we selected trees that offered good balance, so you had not just a bunch of maples or a group of oaks, something that has a good balance and interest. And, survival rate of the location based on, does it get too much sunlight here? Does it get too much road salt here? So there was a lot of things that we took into consideration. But I, being new to this position, have the same questions that you have right now. I mean, why is this marketed as an opportunity for all city residents, not just those that know how to get it? Just the way that we, I guess, portray ourselves on social media and our newsletters and things like that. That's something that could be changed in the future. Because I didn't know about it, being a resident here for quite a few years. I didn't know about it until I got engaged. And then as far as using Robinson's, this could go up a bit, but I think Robinson's having a nursery and stock allows some better pricing. But I think every year, every couple of years at least, you should go out and get the prices so you know you're staying in line with the best value you can get for you. So your questions are things that I thought of, but a lot of this being new for me, I just kind of followed the steps that were taken in the past and kind of concluded that sure, you can always ask questions, but there's reasons why we do things, and it seems to work. So didn't have a lot of time to kick this down the road, and we get it off this year.
And the questions I raise aren't too, like, put a roadblock here. It's essentially less big steps and bettering, because as you're learning about the program, I'm learning about the program, and I want to make sure that as we're learning about the program, we're taking steps to better ourselves as leaders, essentially.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
So my conclusion here would be that, yes, we need to do a better job of getting it out to the citizens about the program. However, I think Pat usually did put it in the newsletter, and there was a lot of, in past years, advertisements for this. My second comment would be, in the 10 years I've been on the commission, I think every year we've done a roadscape, a new road from Court Street, Hannah Street, Douglas Street, Lake Street, 10 roads in the last 10 years, and all of them included treescape. And I think probably the majority of the trees that we've planted over the years went along with two more, Cedar Street and Terrace Street. All of them have treescapes, which is part of these totals, I believe. It could be part of the package of reconstructing the streets. But I love the effort that we are making to treescape our community. So we can do a better job in advertising, I agree.
Okay. Do you have any idea, Mike, this year how many trees we took down compared to how many trees we planted?
We haven't started that initiative yet, Hugh, but the number right now is 36.
And if the commission would indulge me on something, about a couple months ago, I and a couple other folks in the room attended a group of interested citizens who want to form a tree commission to deal with a lot of the things that have been brought up here. And if you would indulge me in having it as a future agenda item to kind of go through that, because I think we could deal with all the questions that have been brought up here and the comments and the concerns and how people get on a list and the health of the city's trees and all those sorts of things. I think there's an avenue where we can address all that. So if you would indulge me, maybe under item 9F, we could maybe get your approval to get that as an agenda item in some future meeting.
Yeah, I agree. I know it's a topic in the community. Well, I know the community is very invested in the trees. And looking through the city charter, there is actually a position that the city appoints an individual to, what is it, tree officer? Is that the official term?
I don't know.
Yeah, and I have no idea who the tree officer is.
Yeah, a lot of other communities have like a park commission, much like the parks and recs. They make recommendations to the city commission, and you know they're paying attention to what the needs are in the community and listening to people. And you know, there's a strategy behind it rather than just who calls up and says I'd like a tree in my front yard, or not front yard, but my front right of way.
So I would support that. Yes.
Okay. Well, I would entertain a motion on the fall tree planting in the city's right of way.
I'll make a motion that the City Commission approve a purchase order contract with Robinson's Landscape for the 2022-2023 fall tree planting project in the amount not to exceed $29,925. Further, I recommend the City Manager execute these documents.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, further discussion? Did you have something, Marty?
Yeah, so in the multiples, so those were just requests. In your department in Dallas and said, well, you wanted one, you want five, we'll give you four more. These were all straight requests. And they read down the list requesting what tree they wanted.
Correct.
To Mike's point, Mr. Kane's point, and I respect that, you know, Gal helped you with this. As far as a horticulturist, I'm probably one of the ones that I would trust the most. But, and to Tim's question, as far as native trees, I mean, you know, I don't know if anybody in this room has ever tried to, you know, nurture a tulip tree, but it's not the easiest thing to do. And extremely hard. And we have 7 of those style trees on here. You know, so at a $500 a piece cost, which is pretty much what these things are at, I just have a problem. It doesn't matter. It's already. We know where this is going, but I would like to clean it up a lot. And I'd entertain your motion, Hugh. And I said at the beginning, I have nothing against trees. I love trees. We have a lot of beautiful trees around this town. But I just get tired of the you know. So now here we are. We're going to pass something else just because it without saying, hold on. Can we go? Can we talk to Hugh and have his meeting? And you know, let's talk this through, and maybe we don't give five, maybe the max is 2, and you know, maybe there's some give and take here. But once again, it's just going to go, it'll be done, and then it'll ride off into oblivion, and we'll try to remember it. So
what is the timeline challenge here?
Well, we'd like to get everything done before frost, which basically gives us to the end of November. And Robinson is well positioned to start tomorrow if this goes in the direction. The mistakes have been called in. The stakes are in location. The species are located under the stake. The count has been tallied and ready to go if it goes through.
And if I could further add, fall is the best time to be planting trees.
Yeah.
Give them the best chance to get established.
A bunch of farmers are planting apple trees. Yeah. And this is where I agree with a lot of what Marty's saying. But when I have these agenda items, and it makes me upset when I have these agenda items, and I don't know if it's because of the how we're planning these agenda packets or whatnot, but I would love the opportunity when a commissioner says, let's have more discussion, to be able to say, I support that. Let's have more discussion. Let's better ourselves. Let's clean this up. Because I agree there's some things we can clean up here. But then to be faced with if you take more time, you're going to be SOL for the next year. And that's what frustrates me the most time and time again. So what more time do you think we can take and still hit the target and get these planted before we're shooting ourselves in the foot and planting trees close to frost?
My only suggestion was cut them down to 1. There's 31 trees. That's why I brought it up at the beginning.
Well, we have a motion and a second. So Any other discussion? Jessica, roll call, please.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Moody.
Nay.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Moving on to item D, Clearwater Lake Management, algae retreatment. Dawn?
This request is seeking commission approval to execute a multi-year agreement with Clearwater Lake Management, Inc. Clearwater Lake Management, Inc. is responsible for the annual application of algae and weed treatments during Q2 and Q3. The price of algae and weed treatments is projected to rise as it did this previous year. The request here is for the option for a multi-year agreement is what is being requested. The agreement, insofar as the increase, is approximately 2%. By executing a multi-year agreement, we will keep costs static for year one and year two of the agreement. Year three would then be a revisit to the contract at that point. The request here is to approve the multi-year contract not to exceed $23.35 annually. And of course, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great, thank you. Any questions or comments from the audience? Okay. Moving to commission deliberation. Tom, do you want to start?
Yeah, can you just explain it a little bit more in depth, the program?
The program itself? Sure. The program itself requires a $250 flat fee for the permit in order to be able to go ahead and do the treatments. And there are three consecutive treatments that will occur during Q2 and Q3 of 2023. So during the summer, spring-summer season, they will go ahead and treat the algae and the weeds in the marina. They will spray accordingly. That's great, but they will treat accordingly. The option is, if we decide, or the commission approves, to execute a multi-year agreement, that cost would remain static. Right, so the $23.35 would be the same price for 2024. 2025 would then, based on if prices are increasing, we would then get a notification from Clearwater Management to walk through, discuss with them regarding price increase or decrease at that time. Depending. It would probably not decrease, but it would more than likely increase. So what this is the approximate savings, quite honestly, to execute a multi-year agreement, you'd be looking at approximately a $75 save. It's about $25 per application is what we would be looking at in order to make sure that those prices, that the price did not increase in 2024. Historically, it's increased about 2-3% per year. That's where the difference is. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I guess, so it's a... It's an application, it's environmentally safe.
Correct.
Okay. How long have we been doing it?
I looked back, so I only went back 2 years. We have been doing it for 2 years, I know. I did not go any further back than that. But and we have been executing it annually.
It's quite some time.
Okay.
And prior to that, I mean, the marina would get kind of funky if you don't do it.
Infested with weeds.
Yes, correct.
Okay, I get it. That explains. So it's a preventative of letting the marina get, like you said, pretty ugly.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I don't have any questions. I've read through this. It's pretty front and forward.
Okay.
Yeah, I understood the majority of it until now. So we're signing up, we're signing a three-year contract that we're locked into, so in 2025 they can make whatever they want?
Yeah.
Okay, well then explain to me again, because 2023 and 24 are 2335. So in 2025 we can say, yeah, we're like your number, see you later.
Correct.
Perfect.
Are there other companies you use?
I do not know the question to that one. This is why I'm coming to you guys early, so that if I do need to go research that for you guys, and that's something that we're interested in knowing, I can go ahead and do the research. I went off past history. Past history is that we've been doing this, but we do have time. These applications would not necessarily take place, like I said, until Q2. So certainly open to that if that would be your wish.
It's always a wish, Keith. Anything else, Michael? Okay, yeah, I support the recommendations, so I would entertain a motion to approve the Clearwater Management multi-year agreement.
I'll make a motion to approve the city staff to execute a multi-three-year agreement with Clearwater Lake Management Loop from Rockford, Michigan.
Okay.
Second,
Tom. Any further discussion? Jessica, roll call, please.
Conklin.
Aye.
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, we move to item 9E. We added a couple meeting dates requests. One is regarding the release of the short-term rental, our both scheduled for November 22nd. I think any discussion on whether or not we think that's too much?
I sincerely believe it's too much. You've got two complete different audiences, not all complete, but a lot of them. That in fact it's room for both meetings. I don't think it would be fair to hold them on the same night. With that being said, I think we still would have time with the, Scott's not gonna like this answer, about moving the short term rental to the first meeting in December and addressing the marina, because I think the marina is the most pressing issue. We've got to figure something out. We've got, we're gonna hear from them in March at that meeting. We've now got our information, on repairs, and so I think that we sincerely need to address it. And it's been going on a lot longer than
for a while. Tom, your thoughts?
I would entertain a special meeting for the marina, a work session where Abner Marsh presents to us.
But it's your recommendation to separate them from the state.
I see what you're saying. Marty's right. That's with that being said, the short-term rental second reading should not be that long of an agenda item. Scott?
I can't comment on that. I have no objection if you want to move it. I mean, that was early as possible.
No, I didn't. I didn't know if it was. If it was going to mess with the whole process.
So moving forward, how would it work before it could be, we could start acquiring, if we go that route, the licenses and all that, what kind of time schedule would it
be? Well, I was anticipating, beginning the program in January. If the ordinance is adopted at the summer meeting, it would become effective 15 days after it's published, so probably late December it becomes actually effective. The one thing that I did want to do was send letters to all those who had past rentals or currently had rentals, kind of inform them of the program and let them know that January would be the window to obtain licenses. So I don't see moving it back really doing, delaying that procedure that I had in mind. So
and at the second reading, that's when we'll have a discussion about the cap and the fee.
I believe the commission wanted to bring that back prior to having that discussion, and I was anticipating bringing that back to the next agenda on the first.
I will be absent from that meeting. So.
On the first?
Yeah. We have something planned that I kind of screwed up and forgot about when we were setting up the first. My apologies. Okay, so, I'd entertain a motion then about what the town, sorry, do you have any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I don't think it's beneficial or productive for both of those topics to be in one meeting.
Okay, so the motion, we would consider then having the marina presentation at our November 22nd meeting. And Scott apparently is good with the December 8th meeting for the short-term rental.
And that's the 7th meeting?
Right. And the November 22nd meeting, we also changed our 7 p.m. meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Well, wait, Mayor? It's December 13th is our first meeting in December. And just to let the commission know, when I was putting the manager's report together and I raised this topic, I reached out to Mike Morphy from Avid Marsh to make sure he was going to be available on the 22nd. I haven't heard back from him. I'm assuming that he'll be available. That's the only fly in the ointment that I don't know the answer to right now.
Well, Mr. Mayor, instead of bumping short-term rental down the road of 2 weeks, is there any thought on a special meeting for the Marina? That whole week of the first or second week of November? We moved it off the 8th because it's voting day, but the 9th, 10th, the 7th, well, I'll be out of town on the 7th, but 9th and 10th of that week, advertise. I mean, we could really dive into it because it's the only agenda item. The question being whether Evan Marsh is ready.
With respect to that, Tom, I think the biggest problem is that you've got people that are looking to the calendar and I think we just get, you know, there's already 50-50 on both issues. And I just see that you're just setting us all up for, you know, oh, geez, you just tried to slide it in on this day because you wanted to do this or that, which we've heard before. So I would rather pick the dates and move them to the regular commission dates. I just think you're going to have better communication, better turnouts, less reasons for somebody to cry foul. So.
Okay. Well, why don't we? I'll make a motion that we have the Marina topic at our November 22nd meeting, and we move the short-term rental meeting to our December 13th meeting. Is there a second?
I support it.
Any further discussion? Jessica, roll call, please.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, then the other item we wanted to cover was to have the saving vehicles on a future agenda. Mike, if you could have that happen.
Yes, that's not a problem.
And then also a possible pre-commission of some sort for a future meeting.
Do we know who's going to be preparing that information? I know you've been doing some research. I think yeah, but I don't know if you have enough information already assembled.
I'll take your lead on that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, staff would be glad to assist on it, but if there's already information assembled, that'd be helpful.
Yeah. So maybe we could move that to Jane, have that in January.
Okay.
If we deal with the cars in January, Marty, does that, that work for you? Okay. So Scott, if we didn't do the discussion on the caps on November 1st, would that be a topic we could include on November 22nd, or do you think that would be hotly contested?
The cap may be quite a discussion. I think the fees are pretty cut dry.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You're going to have to charge what it costs.
Okay. So I just won't be here for that meeting.
Well, would George be able to participate in that meeting?
That'll be an evening.
That's
meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Should be fine.
Well, I don't mean, I mean because he excludes himself from short-term rental issue.
Right.
So it'd just be the three of us.
Right.
Three is a quorum, right?
It's a quorum. I'm just, is it fair to not have you and George here?
Well, I think that, I mean, I don't know how anybody else feels, but, you know, so George sat out in the main discussion, so that's all been said. I wouldn't see a problem. Taking the rest, but I guess that's a question for
the city attorney.
Council.
Okay. Well, we need to go to the order. Any done?
Nope, I'm good.
Mark?
No, thanks for having the chamber fixed. That's what they have.
Okay, good, so.
The only other thing is, I have some material, this is more so for the commission. I have a bunch of material from multiple breakout sessions from the MML in regards to housing solutions, housing mobility, ARP funds. There's a lot of different resources and data websites that I learned about down there as well. So I'm an open book, feel free. But I would really like to focus on ARP funds. I believe we have 14 months to figure out how those funds are going to be utilized and to make sure that, I don't know how those funds are, it's very dynamic how multiple other municipalities are utilizing those funds. But depending on how they're being utilized, there's a time structure that I think is appropriate with engaging the community. So we have to begin those conversations here to see how we move out to the community with utilizing those funds essentially. So I think that's a topic that, I mean, personally, I do not want to come to a meeting and say I'm frustrated with the timing of it. So I would just like to get ahead of it from the beginning.
Agreed.
Tim, are you going to the conference on Thursday and Friday?
Won't be attending a two-day thing, but potentially I'll be there either Thursday or Friday. I'm most likely thinking Thursday is the most beneficial day to attend.
I did notice we forgot to discuss one item under 9E, and that was the electronic meeting. I don't know how we're going to coordinate that or what we're going to do, so could you get that on a future agenda as well?
Yeah, I posed a question to see if the commission did want to discuss it, and I hadn't heard any feedback, so.
We want to lay out the ground rules for our electronic meeting and clarify that, okay, we don't have a surprise like we have.
Well, the biggest thing was just being able to control.
Yeah, that was a technical issue, but obviously there's a policy that should probably be implemented or practiced.
Okay, under announcements, Boyne City trick-or-treat hours are from 5 to 8 p.m. on Monday. And the next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for November 1st at 7 p.m. Can I entertain a motion for adjournment?
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you, everyone.